Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportist, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportist.
Hello and welcome to an episode of the St. Louis Sportist podcast. My name is Ron Cook and I am joined by Joe Sperlin.
Hey, good to be here. Good to see everybody.
Tom Mathis.
Hello, everybody.
And Keith Farrell.
Cheers, everybody.
In this edition, Mizzou finds that it might not be ideal if the opposing defense knows what play you're going to run. The Chiefs face a division clash in Denver Sunday. Are the Blues on the road to recovery? The Cardinals are open for business. Who stays? Who goes? And college basketball non-conference season is in full swing. The St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings. Jason and his team will take your project from design to completion with a family-first approach. Learn more at firstcoaststeel.com. That's the number one, S-T, Coast, steel.com, and we'll hear more from them and Sandra Templeoff later in the show. And tonight's last call is brought to you by Black Dog Consulting, LLC. Here to help the one truck owner and the small fleet owner to grow and prosper. Contact Dave Reinhardt at 417-217-9622. Black Dog Consulting, helping you retrieve bigger profits. We are on all of the socials, X, Facebook, Blue Sky, Instagram, and you can find all of our episodes at our website, stlsportus.com. And as we were just discussing, folks, we are coming up on and have done 1 year of these podcasts. It was 1 year ago tomorrow night, I put a microphone down in front of Keith Farrell and said, we're doing this. And here we are a year later. So
1 year later,
thanks to all of you. If you can hear this or see this, thank you for being a big part of this. Because otherwise, Joe, I don't know. We might not do this if no one's watching or listening, right?
No, we would still do it. Just no one would be watching and listening.
Well, actually, we've been doing it since about 1977.
Yeah.
I think we have been doing it since 1977. Tom, you joined in 89, and Keith, yep, you know, a couple years ago. Doug Lansdowne is on assignment. The basketball coaching bug got him back. So I think he's storming up and down a sideline like Al McGuire right now.
Yep.
It's time for our quick hits. Joe Sperlin, what do you got?
You know, the past two weekends I've been busy. And I do like saying that the famous college football November remembers. So I want to once again thank you, YouTube TV and Disney. I know this might be my third weekend in a row, but I haven't missed ESPN at all, except Dan Orlovsky. I think he's good. Everything else I haven't missed. Until last night, I was upset that I missed the 4-6 MAC action game, where Akron scored 18 points in the fourth quarter to force overtime.
Well, that's my action at its finest.
Hey, I was able to watch the end of the Penn State-Indiana game where their quarterback gets the Heisman. As I told you guys, imagine that recruiting speech when he was at California. Hey, come to Indiana. We're going to be the number one team in the nation, and you're going to win the Heisman. Come on over. And he was, oh, okay, yeah, I'm in. So, but I did get to watch the Mizzou Texas A&M first half. Like I said, the past two weekends I've been doing the honeydew thing, so it hasn't been that bad.
Yeah, and the Indiana thing is like, you remember when we used to all get NCAA, whatever the year was, and you'd become a coach at a college, and you'd like take them to the national championship, and you'd say, well, that would never happen in real life. That's what's happened at Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
And when Zig Natty goes somewhere and he tells somebody that, they got to believe it now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If they can financially support the players now.
That's true. Tom, what do you have?
There's been a report on the 247 website on the Penn State boards that Eli Drinkwitz is the number one candidate for the Penn State job. It's kind of him and Brohm are like 1 and 2. But they're saying now that he is the number one candidate for the job. So after this weekend's loss, apparently he has started fielding offers, not really fielding offers, but being more, listening more, I guess would be the way to phrase it.
There was an article by old St. Louis Post scribe, Tom, someone you and I and Keith have read for years, Vahe Gregorian, who's over in Kansas City right now. Mm-hmm. And then Bernie Miklas said almost the same thing the next day. And it was, the thesis was, has Eli plateaued just below being an elite program?
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder, you know, after the A&M game, I kind of wonder if he kind of was listening to all those people saying, wow, if he's going to go, now's the time.
Yeah, shoot. You know, he doesn't have a depth at the quarterback position. He's got, I think you're right. I mean, he's going to have to kind of rebuild an offense. He's going to have to, it's a lot easier to recruit out of Penn State than it is out of Mizzou. So, yeah, that's a great point.
Well, it's Vahe and Bernie, not me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe, what do you think?
I'll save my thoughts for when we talk about that here in a little bit.
Perfect.
The only bad thing is if he goes to Penn State, Zoller probably goes to Penn State with him. So, you know,
are we sure that's a bad thing?
Well, I mean, we'll he is a four-star weekend quarterback.
That's true. That's true. I kid because I love. Keith Farrell.
Got a little bit of information on some sports betting information going on. We got some sports books going in some local casinos. Ameristar is going to be hosting Fanatic Sportsbook. We have River City doing the Score bet. I'm not quite sure about that one, but mm-hmm. Hollywood's also going to do the same. And the Horseshoe in downtown St. Louis is going to be hosting the Caesars Sportsbook.
Ooh.
So kind of interesting. It's going to be kind of fun to visit those different locations and kind of see which is going to be the place to go watch some Sunday football come December 8th or something like that.
We've got to figure out where we want to like lock in on the loyalty points and, you know,
yeah,
bank them. Joe Spurlin, I think Class A is not going to be available for the grand opening of any of those events.
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so either.
We'll get to him. We'll get to him later. For mine, Joe, you and I have followed the Olympics going back, heck, to the early 80s. And there's a story... Actually, this story goes back even to 76 was the first time I remember hearing about it. And 76 is the first time this almost happened. The NHL is, to use a term of art, freaking out about the construction of the Olympic hockey arena in Milan, to the point that they're sending over people to inspect the arena next week. They say it continues to be concerning, their deputy commissioner Bill Daly said on Tuesday. But yes, they're sending two guys. The Olympics are just 90 days away. And while the NHL is getting weekly updates, he's like, I need to see the progress firsthand. Bettman, Gary, the NHL commissioner, sounded the alarm after the Board of Governors meetings in October when they reported that the arena had already canceled their December events. God, not good. The IOC told The Athletic that day that everything is scheduled for completion in mid-December and that a new event has been scheduled for early January. Joe, this doesn't it seem like every Winter and Summer Olympics, with the exception of maybe Atlanta and L.A., there's like a holy cow, we're not going to there's some major venue that's not going to be ready.
Yeah, I love all these countries that get the Olympics and then they start frantically building venues. And then when the Olympics are done, they like tear down venues.
Yeah.
Or
remember the one in Russia where they just abandoned everything in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah. I was thinking of that. One of them, I thought they turned a stadium into housing. They just started putting up walls everywhere.
Yes.
And, yeah, yes. I think it was in China or somewhere. I don't know.
That sounds right, because there was run that like a summer and a winter back to back in China, I want to say.
Well, you can do it, and like the LA Olympics are going to do it, where they have softball in Oklahoma City. The yachting or kayaking is going to be in Oklahoma, I think. And then there's places all over the United States where they're doing some of it.
Yeah. It's going to be, I'm sure the good folks of Oklahoma are going to enjoy seeing, the words like Los Angeles 28, know, at their stadium.
Yeah. And you know who the, Italian hockey coach is, right?
No, who?
Mike Keenan.
What?
I wonder if you had any.
I'm going to say what I just thought when you said that name.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. When I went to Key West, I was talking to his buddies and they said, yeah, Mike just flew out to,
I was going to go, you know, Sergio Mimesso was my first, you know, if it was like a multiple choice test and just say, because Sergio Mimesso, Tom.
Exactly. Yeah.
Joe Sperlin, Keith's doing.
Yeah, he is coaching Italy's men's national hockey team. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't know Italy would have a hockey team.
Oh.
Well, this is something that back in the days of the hockey games, the video games, especially when they started to get really good in the late 90s, when we were playing with like five controllers. I think we may have drug you into this. If we wanted to play a team that we knew we could destroy, we would play like England or Italy or like some of those Italian teams. And then someone would be like, hey, how about Finland? Well, no, you don't want to play Finland.
Yeah. Yeah. Until we get better, we're not playing Finland.
I just fact checked myself. He stepped down due to medical reasons.
Oh, darn.
Well, my first reaction was, is he still alive? I'm serious. I was like, wait a minute.
So he has a house down in Key West and, I am hell-bent on going to this place where I met his buddies so I can sit down and talk to him one of these days. So that might put him over the edge if he just starts talking hockey to some random dude from St. Louis.
I always think of the Olympics and the Canadian guys were talking about how they couldn't believe how much Mark Crawford screamed at them. And of course, they ended up not winning. Oh, well. Well, we could talk Olympic hockey for a long time, Joe Sperlin, but... Of more import are the events in Boone County last Saturday when the Texas A&M Aggies rolled into town and put a whooping on the Tigers. Hey, they broke their streak of not having 100-yard rushers. They had not one, but 200-yard rushers. They also had 77 yards passing.
Texas A&M's got some dudes that can run. I mean, they got some dudes. There might be a now saying maybe Texas A&M is the best team in the nation. But, anytime you go on the road on the SEC and can not only win, but kind of confidently win, it's pretty good. Cause I thought there for a while, it was like, oh my gosh, how many points are they going to score? This is almost turning into like what was last year.
Yeah, and there was relief in the viewing party here when Mizzou actually did get points on the board. Tom, the story that has come out in the Post-Dispatch and several other places talk about how the Missouri left tackle noted that the A&M defense were calling out the plays the Tigers were going to run while they were lined up. Who is that offensive coordinator, error, head coach, everyone? Who? How? What?
I think it's both. I think Drink probably limits what he wants Kirby to do. And then you talk about how they were expecting the plays, knew what plays were coming. But then at the end of the first half, you know, they tried to go down and score when you hadn't done anything the whole first half and you give up a fumble and an easy touchdown before halftime. I just don't understand that. And I don't know if you heard what Mike Elko said in his press conference. They asked him if they knew what plays were coming. He goes, I don't know what you talk about, and started almost giggling.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah.
Well, you'd have to think that Zollers had limited plays in the playbook. And, you know, there's no one behind Zollers, is there? I mean,
there's no scholarship quarterbacks behind Zollers. That is correct.
They brought somebody back from
you got another lock.
See.
You have to go to the intramural teams to see who the best guy is from there.
There's a tuba guy from Marching Mizzou that played at...
he can throw the ball 50 yards.
He was at Winnetonka and came in mop-up time.
Those guys, you know, Texas A&M does all their scouting and, you know, it's all done so much now. I don't want to say AI, but I mean, they print everything out and they can tell you exactly what's going on. But Mizzou also has that chance to self-scout themselves.
Yeah.
When they sit there and that offensive coordinator gets the same printout Texas A&M's defense should have got of right. Sitting there saying, hey, do you know in this situation, you've run this?
Tom, it reminds me of the proud tradition of going back to A&M games when I forget if it was Bob Stull or someone that was down at Texas A&M. It was the 77-0 game, and they kept running bubble screens, and the receivers were getting hurt to the point like their helmets were sideways after the hit because the A&M guys were just lined up to hit them.
Yeah.
Joe Sparland, Mizzou is 6-6 in their last 12 SEC games. And you brought up this question that I think the whole group gets to weigh in on. What are Drink's best wins? And, you know, this is throughout his tenure. What are the signature wins?
Well, I think it's funny that of all the jobs that he's all of a sudden, now it's Penn State. Well, and these are so-called Mizzou people. They're saying Drink is James Franklin. And Penn State's going to hire another James Franklin. And all of a sudden they're kind of like, well, do we really, the Mizzou, I won't say fans, I'm just going to say Mizzou Post have kind of turned on Drink a little bit now that he's potentially leaving. It's kind of like, hey, you've heard, you know, there's rumors he's going to leave. Well, okay. Well, what has he really done? Okay. We'll be fine without him. So I don't know. A lot of the evidence is it's out there. I mean, the numbers are out there.
Keith, but he's got the charisma, the charm to recruit. I think that's what Mizzou has been missing in the past. I mean, Drink can go into a living room and have that immediate impact. He's got that infectious behavior amongst the entire athletic department as well. So he's got the pull. I think this one would be kind of a tough loss. I mean, I don't want to see Drink go. I really think that he's still continuing to build, but when you look at, you know, his top program wins, you have to search in the cupboard for that thing in the back of the cupboard because they're just not there.
Tom, are you going to be sad if he leaves?
I'll be a little sad. I will say that, but I will be hopeful that they can find somebody who can take the next step. Eli's built a great foundation. I'm not sure he's the one who's going to be able to take that next step. And maybe if they do bring somebody in, I've said it before. I think that it's the NIL process that the athletic department has going on. I mean, it's football, it's basketball. Apparently it's women's basketball. They've had a good recruiting class. So, you know, Missouri has some good state laws regarding NIL, and it's very helpful to the Tigers right now.
Yeah. Some of the best in the country, your point.
Yeah. You know, Tom, you spoke about Louisville and Brohm. Louisville's supposedly going to give him some more money and get him signed up. Well, and the other thing that I see about Missouri people, they're like, all right, if Drink stays, are they going to give him more money? And then they've got a $50 million contract to get rid of him in a couple years.
Right. Exactly. And I've heard nothing about an extension for him through all of this. I've heard no talk about that at all.
No, the Mizzou pods that I listen to have said that it might be more along the lines of, because he's already, you know, way up both nationally and in the SEC in terms of his annual salary.
I cannot believe how much they paid him.
Yeah. That I mean, it really might be more like.
I'm not that I don't believe like he's worth it. I'm
can't believe it was that high. Yeah. That Mizzou was contract wise was that much.
Yeah.
Right. So they've said that instead of giving him more cash, it might be a commitment to more NIL or more money for assistant coaches or something like that, as opposed to we'll pay you more.
And what the program needs, if there's anything else that they need, you know,
right,
to be successful. A creative offense would be my first thing.
You want the second highest paid guy on your team in college to be the quarterback nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Joe Spurlin, Mizzou is not the only 6-3 Division I team in the state of Missouri right now.
And that hit me this weekend. I mean, really,
Missouri
it did.
State Bears.
I sit there and went, oh my gosh, they're both 6-3.
Yes.
That was a good win at Liberty. I mean, was a good win. I mean, they come back and fought and now they're fired up. They're applying for bowl eligibility. You know, I keep waiting to see these people that put bowls to always say, hey, if this happens, you're going to be three teams short. But right now, they're saying the numbers are good, but crazy things happen in November.
If they become bowl eligible, what about Missouri State versus Missouri at the Liberty Bowl?
Well, the beat writer Eli Hoff was pitching Illinois versus Missouri, just like we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
That would be fun.
You that might sell out. Actually,
you would definitely get the bus. Yeah, but Interstate 55 would be cram packed with some volume from the north.
I want to say I don't know if Conference USA has a bowl affiliation with the SEC.
I'm
going to put that the other way around. The SEC says no, we're not doing a bowl with Conference USA.
I don't know if Mizzou would do them.
No,
they probably wouldn't.
No,
they played once in football during the Drew Locke era, and that was Mizzou had some defensive issues, and Missouri State had a high-powered offense. Thank you. And it was, you know, Mizzou won comfortably, but Missouri State scored 30 or 40 points in Columbia. So
let me look it up here real quick, but I think it's in 29 Missouri State's going to Mizzou, aren't they?
Oh,
really? While you're looking that up,
wow.
Missouri State's coach, with his success, has he been generating any interest from other schools?
Has to.
Arkansas.
I keep hearing James Franklin to Arkansas. It's amazing how sought after James Franklin is all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Hey, and they're still, and they're all talking about this, that if Florida was to,
September 1st, Missouri State Bears at Ferrero Field.
Yep, I was getting ready to say 29 September.
Wow.
And then they play Illinois on the 15th. So anyway.
Oh, my.
They're just talking about how if Florida was to upset. Do they play Ole Miss? Wait, I think Florida plays them here coming up. They're like, if Florida could knock Ole Miss out of the playoffs, and then that means Kiffin could come to Florida sooner.
So on my LSU podcast today, and Joe, you included discussing the Brian Kelly situation. Lane Kiffin is the leading candidate right now for the New York Giants, Florida, and he's number two on the betting market at LSU.
Yeah.
He has an unsigned contract extension on his desk that he has had for several months now. And then the Brian Kelly situation in...
okay, Ron, tell me, why are they firing him?
Well,
the probable cause.
Okay, so what has happened, according to a very well-placed source that I have in Louisiana, they attempted to negotiate. So again, if they paid him the $53 million that he was entitled to, it was monthly. And again, if he got another job, that was mitigated down.
Okay.
They offered kind of like a lottery to say, here's $30 million right now. go away. And he didn't want that. And then they're like, okay. First they offered like 34, then they offered him 30. And so then, and it really gets in the weeds because the athletic director fired him and, or was the one that told him he was fired. Well, guess what? There's a bylaw that says that it has to be a vote of the Board of Regents. So technically that guy didn't have the authority to fire him. Therefore he hasn't been fired. And now the hammer that the university has is, if they fire him for cause, he's entitled to nothing. Now, there are allegedly 3 for cause instances, and the Hooked On LSU podcast, the guy said, there's one that I can tell you about, there's 2 that I know about that I can't tell you about until they become public.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and then the third thing is, if he sues, because again, you've got the Napoleonic Code down there in Louisiana, guess what? He's actually suing the state of Louisiana, which has apparently a list of like a few hundred judgments that have gone against them that they haven't paid out, and God knows when they will pay those out.
Oh, so take the $30 million and run. That's the moral of the story.
Did I say it got into the weeds, Joe?
So yeah, that's how I understood it. That's kind of how I understood it too. But, and I, you know, you sit there and talk about all these guys. I don't know if I would want Brian Kelly to coach my college team. You know what I'm saying? No. Whatever, you know, if I was a whatever fan, I would sit there and go, I don't know if I want Brian Kelly coming.
You know, and I went through that when he joined LSU. I said, okay, I thought of the old Richard Nixon line from the 50s when he was vice president and they were talking about a dictator in South America. You know this one? And he's like, he may be a son of a bitch, but he's our son of a bitch. He was the leading winner in the winningest coach in college football at the time. Do you want the winningest coach? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... stay tuned, as they used to like to say. Keith Farrell, let's jump over to the NFL, where it's only slightly more sane. The third-place Kansas City Chiefs go to Denver. Third-place Kansas City Chiefs, that just sounds strange to say.
They have them right where they want them.
It
seems to be the par for the course for this Chiefs team. Listen, you know, you look at that Denver Bronco team. Oh my gosh. You know, they're tough as nails, especially at home. They're 8-2. But this is that Chiefs team. They're going to go in there, play it close. I think they have a really solid chance of winning the game, with health and Rice back and Mahomes and coming off a bye week. Why can't they win?
Why do I imagine we'll see the Andy Reid after a bye week stat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
If I recall, is something just silly.
Of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Chiefs, it's going to be perfect weather in Denver, so you can't say that. The only thing that the Denver has is the altitude that can play a factor.
And Bo Nix.
Yeah, the altitude and Bo Nix, that's a 1-2 punch right there. We'll see. I think it's going to be a great game. How nice is it to see the AFC, you know, step up and, you know, showcase, you know, their depth. You got 3 teams that are going to be playing that are going to be major players at playoff time.
This gal for Nebraska just hit a half court shot at the end of the first quarter.
They're celebrating like they won the Super Bowl.
They are. Joe Spurlin, I've noticed some teams or some of the national people are starting to pick on Denver and say, well, they've played a weak schedule. They are only winning against weak teams by not very much. Who are these Denver Broncos, or are we about to find out more Sunday?
Well, once again, thank you, YouTube TV, because I never would have watched this game and I watched it on Amazon and I'll never get that time back. And that will, the horrible football of the Raiders and the Broncos on Thursday night, will scar my memory forever. I hope it's the old look ahead game. We're not even going to practice for the Raiders and we're ready for the Chiefs. Let's just show up and play. We'll beat them.
Oh, it was bad. It was almost as bad as the Monday night game.
Someone said it was the Thursdayest Thursday night game of the NFL season so far, which I kind of agree with.
The NFL just, it's like you said, people are going to watch the NFL. It doesn't matter who it is. And, you know, I can't even remember the last time. Oh, hey, that was a good Thursday night game. The players don't want to play, you know, coaches. No. And it's just, it's crazy.
It is. And I mean, there used to be a good college game on Thursday.
Yeah.
You could look forward to. Joe Sperling, you're getting your wish. Jameis is going to start. Apparently, late word.
He's starting.
He's in.
Oh, yeah. Hey. And they're playing the Packers. Hey, the best time ever. Coming off a Monday night, Jameis, he'll be ready to go. Did you see the press conference of him singing Hamilton today?
Oh God,
no! Oh, did he get his shot? Was he saying, "I'm going to get my shot"?
He's talking about the greatest city, and it was great. It was Jameis.
One thing about Jameis is he's going to go out there gunslinging.
Oh yeah,
and he'll have his four touchdown, three interception game.
Mm-hmm.
He might even rush for one.
Yeah.
So, but it gives you more hope and, you know, versatility than Russell Wilson's giving you.
He'll make some plays or some throws, and you'll go, "My God, why isn't this guy playing?" And then next time he'll throw it right to a defender for a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll have that look like, "I didn't even see him there."
Yeah, exactly. And the fantasy owners will see he threw the four, you know, back to the four touchdowns and three interceptions. They'll see the four touchdowns. And they'll be like, "How did I get 2 points from all that?"
And he's played zero snaps
this year.
Right.
So let's just throw him into the fire there.
How does that make you feel, Russell Wilson?
I think in the Russell autobiographies, he's going to be like, "And that's when I knew it was over."
Yeah.
With that, it is time for our weekly trip to Blue Horseshoes Corner. Joe Sperling will take us through five college games, five pro games. We welcome back Tom Mathis from his brief break. And we would like to remind you that these picks are for entertainment purposes only. They should not be the basis of any actual wager. If you believe you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Joe Sperling.
And by the way, next week you're going to get probably hear all those radio spots where you can sign up for November. You can't go till December 1st and read the fine print on those free $300 bets.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. Most of those have to do it within like a week.
Yes. Right. And they're not just giving you $300 because they like the cut of your jib. No.
Yeah. And you have to kind of bet that money. They're all different. So anyway, just don't. Hey, and just like that, hey, UTEP, we're Conference USA at Missouri State homecoming. Homecoming. I believe the word around Springfield is, why would you not buy a ticket? It's not come to the game. It's like, why would you not come to the game? A surprising only -4.5 Missouri State. UTEP is bad on the road. They're 2-7. I really thought this game would be a touchdown, so I'm with the home team. Minus they win and cover. Ron?
The Missouri State Bears win and cover their seventh win, assuring them no worse than 7-5.
Keith?
I feel the oozing of some maroon and white over here. I'm gonna go with a UTEP on the money line. Just because.
Yep. Good reasoning.
Yeah.
Good reasoning.
Now, next week,
we'll have our NFL picks here later when you just want to say just because for.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm waiting for the Missouri State to sink in through the thick skin over here.
Understand.
That's my just because.
It makes perfect sense.
Tom, tell him why you're going with the Bears.
Go Bears. Miners are bad.
Just because.
There you go.
OU at Alabama. Now, as I looked at this, I remembered this, the 24-3 embarrassing loss last year at OU, which pretty much cost Alabama a playoff bid. And they have never beat in a regular season game OU. They've only beat them in bowl games or tied them.
Wow.
And I'm gonna start off again with this, that Alabama's -5.5. I thought this would be about a touchdown too. So Alabama comes in fired up and might even get to double digit win, I think. Keith, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with you there. I think you're looking at an Alabama team that obviously has a memory of what's been going on, not just last year, but recent losses. So they got something to play for right now. So I'll take Alabama barely covering.
Okay. Ron?
You know, you can find two monkey wrenches in both of this, because Alabama has what I will call, I'm going to use the Feinbaum boys here, the DeBauer. DeBauer is capable of laying an egg when you least expect it. And then Oklahoma is capable of coming apart like a cheap suit in some of these games, like the road games. So I'll still take Alabama just because I think they're a better team.
Okay. Tom?
I'm going to go Alabama. I agree with you. It's going to be a double digit to 14 point win.
Yep. All right. And then we got to go back up to the big North, as I like
to
call
it. The big 18.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maryland at Illinois. Illinois -14.5. Maryland has lost their last five. They're bad offense, bad defense. Locksley, he's another one. He's been there 7 years. He's another one that supposedly is on his way out. So, Tom, what do you think on that one? Illinois -14.5.
I think they easily cover. I agree with about Maryland's offense. Their quarterback looks like he should be playing left tackle for them. He might be more do more good for him at left tackle than quarterback.
Keith, what do you think?
Oh, this is a perfect game set up to score some big time points on the stat line for the Illinois offense. So, I can see. Illinois won in by a touchdown each quarter. So I think this is a big one for Illinois.
Ron?
What Keith said.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Bad offense, bad defense, that's a bad combination.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, Ron, my UMass team from last week is playing Northern Illinois, who has won two games. And it is 45-0 in the fourth quarter. So
it was so bad we switched it here.
Yeah. All right.
Northern Illinois won two games.
No. Oh, no. Yeah. Northern Illinois, I think, has only won two games.
Wow. They used to be a pretty good force.
That guy at one time was kind of a name after what he did last year. Yeah. They're 2-7.
Wow.
So, Texas at Georgia. Texas' first trip to Athens.
Ooh.
This is Georgia's last SEC game. It's kind of wild. They play Charlotte and then Georgia Tech. So this is their last SEC game. I once again thought this would be a little higher. I thought it'd be like the old touchdown, but it's Georgia -5.5. I am going to go with the Bulldogs at home. By about a touchdown. Ron, what do you think?
Kirby too strong. Georgia wins, covers.
Tom, what do you think?
My daughter Morgan is going to disown me, but I think Texas is going to come up with the upset.
Ooh.
Wow.
And will that mess things up in the playoffs?
Hey, Jason may give you a free metal building for that.
Yeah.
He might.
Go Longhorns.
All right. But I got to go Georgia. Georgia's covering.
Oh, Georgia's covering. Yeah, I'm with you. Ooh, I almost put a T down for you. Oh, and then we got the Mississippi State at Mizzou. Drink in November. In November is 12-6 straight up and 14-4 against the spread.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mizzou -7.5. Ron, what do you think?
It sounds like Drink is a strong finisher, and I enjoy a strong finisher.
Boy, that would have been a great time, like a sponsor right there.
Exactly.
That's why I have. Go ahead.
And that is bet brought to you by Maker's Mark. So I'm going to make one of my unusually specific predictions. I'm going to say this is what Mizzou fans will call the Matt Zollers game. And he throws for a minimum of 4, possibly 5 touchdowns, just enough to confuse everyone to say, wow, he was great against Mississippi State, you know, and he looked like George Plimpton out there against, A&M. So I think Missouri huge.
Ooh. Tom, what do you think?
I think Mizzou's going to win. I think it'll be big, but I think it'll be on the backs of Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts. I think they'll run the ball. They'll probably both have 100 yards easily.
Ooh, back-to-back 100-yard, double 100 yards, or is that 4? I don't know.
Double 100 yards. Double
I hate 100. Math.
Keith, what do you think?
I'm going to read you word for word. Artificial intelligence is going to piggyback. Mississippi State's run defense has struggled in 2025, allowing 176.2 rushing yards per game, which ranks as one of the worst in the nation. They're ranked 112th in the nation against the run. I think Mizzou's got this one tied up.
Look at Keith doing research and stuff.
Yeah.
So what Mizzou's that tells gonna me run, is I don't think this is going to be a Zoller game. I think this is going to be a run game. But you never know. Zollers might be passing into Hardy and those guys, you know, little flank routes or whatever.
With all that, Zollers will probably throw 50 passes and about 12 runs total.
Yeah.
And I text you guys this when Hardy had that 50-yard touchdown run, and the defensive end from Texas A&M that was chasing him, that if it would have been a 60-yard run, he probably would have got pulled down at the 5-yard line by the 6'5", 265-pound defensive end. Like I said, and that's why Mizzou probably recruits a lot in Texas, too.
I think so.
I haven't said this all year. This is the Mizzou trap game.
Ooh.
They've kind of went through the past week. Drink doing his deal. Is he staying? Is he going? We doing this. They got OU next. They got OU next.
You need to get
next.
The trapdoor music going on with this.
Yeah.
Mizzou wins in a sweater. So Mississippi State, give me the 7.5. But Mizzou wins in a sweater.
This is like when Ohio State or Kansas State would come in the 70s and early 80s and just inexplicably blow what would be like a fairly decent season.
They would beat Alabama or Notre Dame or Ohio State, USC, and then they'd lose to Iowa State or, you know, somebody might be their first win of the season. That's what cost Al Ottaviano his job. Is he could win a big game. But then he'd lose a game he should never have lost.
Right.
All right. There's our five games.
Before I take my siesta, can I make one comment?
Please do.
Yeah.
Tigers by 23 over Minnesota right now.
Yeah. It's become a dunkathon here.
They've outscored Minnesota by 21 points in the second half.
Wow.
There you go. The famous adjustment at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll go to the NFL where,
just because.
As Keith said, just because. Tampa Bay at Buffalo. Buffalo -5.5. Tampa Bay
not good on the road. They have a better road record than they do at home. Or no, wait, it's the other way. Yeah, they have a better road record than at home. They both lost games. I'm going to say Buffalo's going to come fired up, embarrassed by the Miami debacle. Give me Buffalo minus the 5.5. Ron?
Yes, sir. Buffalo minus 5.5. You got two teams coming off of not so great losses, but Buffalo at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Buffalo, they've got to make a statement. Mm-hmm. They have not been playing great football. So you hear that, James Cook, get off your tail and score some touchdowns. Yes.
My cousin.
Not that he's affiliated with any fantasy football team on this deal.
No.
Cincinnati's just going to the Mud Hut. Pittsburgh minus 5.5. I was not aware of this till I saw this this morning. Pittsburgh offensively is ranked 30th in the NFL, and their defense is 28. And they looked bad the other night. Cincinnati's going to make a run. Say it, Ron. Who's coming back for Cincinnati?
That young Joe Burrow from the Louisiana State University, or
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow, they're going to get them fired up. Plus 5.5. Give me the Bengals.
I think just the fact that he's coming back is
a wind beneath their wings, Keith.
I am not going to sing the song, but
thank God.
I will start. It's that time of the year where I got to start looking at my preseason predictions. And I said that the Steelers would be below 500 this year. So Bengals.
You need some losses. Yeah, exactly. Kansas City favored at Denver minus 3.5. Kansas City, who's not going to make the playoffs, but everyone loves them for the Super Bowl. At Denver, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Denver was looking ahead the Raiders. Kansas City kicks a field goal to win it. I've told some Kansas City fans, this may be the only game Kansas City loses from here on out. And that would give them five losses. And they may win out after this. But I'm going to take Denver plus the hook. Plus the 3.5. The hook in the NFL loves the hook. That's like, when the hook's there, look out.
Yeah. Yeah, they've seen the script.
Yeah.
More than likely, yeah.
What do you think, Ron?
I think Kansas City wins by a touchdown or more.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Keith?
I think it's the Andy Reid bye week effect.
Yes. Keith, what do you think?
I'm right there next to Ron right there. I think This is a Kansas City Chiefs team that's ready to explode. The offense is ready to explode.
Speaking of an offensive ready to explode, Detroit at Philadelphia Sunday night, Philadelphia minus 2.5. Hey, Dan Campbell's calling the plays. He don't care. He'll go for it, throw it around. They're scoring points. Give me the points and Detroit.
Hmm.
What do you think, Ron?
I believe that the Eagles have become that NFL team that everyone says, oh, they're finally going to lose. And then you go do a load of laundry and you come back and they're down by 2 with the ball and 40 seconds to go. And you're like, how? So give me the Eagles.
The Eagles, Keith?
Yeah, the Eagles need to bounce back offensively, and they'll pull it off this game. So Eagles will pull this one off.
And then Monday night, somehow Dallas is on national TV again. Dallas minus 3.5 at the Vegas, baby, the Raiders. Here's just some stats. Dallas, fourth offensively, defensively, 31st.
Oh,
Raiders Dallas are 29th defensively and 13 offense. So, hey,
a good offense will beat a bad defense, and an average offense that the Raiders have. Give me the Cowboys -3.5. Be careful of the hook again.
Yeah.
And Dallas is about to go. Dallas is about to get my Atlanta. I think I may have picked them like 3 weeks in a row. So
I stopped picking them and my life is better. I think Pete Carroll was saying this didn't used to be this hard. Give me the Cowboys.
I'm going with my heart. And my heart says, Raiders. Let's do it. Let's put another dagger in those boys.
Pete had this look on that Thursday night game of like, he had two thoughts that crossed through my mind. Why did I come back and do this? Was number one. And number two, I'm not getting fired up about half of these guys because they're not going to be on this team next year.
No, no. Someone at our place said he just looks sad.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, I'm just not going to get fired up because this team's not going to be here next year. So
no, no.
Will he?
Thank you, Blue Horseshoe.
There you go.
We appreciate you, sir. And with that, we have reached a commercial break. When we come back, the St. Louis Blues, are they finally coming out of it? Major League Baseball, a little gambling update, and not necessarily a good one. And college hoops, we've got it on 3 TVs here in the Dome. It is back. When we come back.
At First Coast Steel Buildings, we stand out by combining cutting-edge engineering with a family-first approach to customer service. Every building is custom-designed, ensuring a perfect fit for your location and purpose, while our galvanized steel guarantees durability and resilience. Contact Jason and his team at 912-314-4848 or visit their website at firstcoaststeel.com. From fun to practical to industrial, First Coast will provide a custom solution to any building need. From fun projects like a backyard bar or she shed to an industrial storage unit for your business, First Coast has you covered. Visit their website at StCoastSteel.com or give them a call at 912-314-4848. Discounts for military and first responders.
And we are back on the St. Louis Sportus Podcast, joined by Joe Sperlin, Tom Mathis, and Keith Farrell. My name is Ron Cook. Keith Farrell, the St. Louis Blues, since we've already talked about Jameis, we good then?
No. No. You're looking at a team that's 6-8-3. They're not in a good spot. Only three teams have worse records than them. You can only ride this wave so long. 2019 and last year, you know, this team, they're playing lost. They're thin on defense. They're trying to find chemistry. Not really a good spot to be in this time of the year. Your goal scorers aren't scoring goals. It's just a bad hockey team right now. A little bit of bad luck too, but you know, something good teams overcome that. This Blues team is not a good team.
Tom Mathis, are you feeling any more comfortable about the goaltending situation?
They've straightened out a little bit their last couple of appearances. They've both been good. I won't say great, but they've been better. I will go with that, but it can get much worse. Hofer, you know, the last two starts he's had, he's been pretty decent. Bennington was okay. Last night, was it last night or night before? Well, whenever.
Last night?
Yeah. So, you know, they've kind of turned the corner, but I don't know about the rest of the team. Thomas has two goals. You know, there's just, like he said, their stars just aren't performing right now. And when you have goalie interference like they did against the Kraken, and then NHL goes ahead and allows the goal with 0.5 seconds left, there's not much you can do.
My lovely wife said that goaltender interference in the NHL has become like a catch in the NFL. Who knows?
Yes. Yeah.
Who knows?
And at this point, why don't you just nail the goaltender, because chances are they may not call it.
Yeah. Oh, it's worth the risk. It's like a pass interference, kind of late in the game.
Yeah.
Keith, is Dvorsky going back down? He looks like he belongs.
Dvorsky belongs. The only big thing that my concern that I see, he's great on the power play. He's definitely a presence on the ice, but physically, boy, he's a boy amongst men out there. And that's my only concern. I don't want to see the poor kid get hurt. Do what you need to do. I trust this regime, even if the results aren't there. But I do like their player development and the young guys coming up. It was nice to see a glimpse.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom, with the Olympics that we talked about a little bit, man, the season's condensed. You've got a game, if not every other night, every third night. It's kind of like those momentum swings, either good or bad, like the five blown losses they've had this year. They seem to just kind of roll a little bit more than they would in a normal season.
Yeah, there's no time to have practices to fix yourself in between the games right now. It's just, games, games, games. And I know the other day after the Washington loss, he had him on the ice the very next morning because he said they didn't play on it the night before, so they were going to play the next day. So Monty's the right coach for this team, and I think he will get them straightened out. I'm not sure if all of the guys will be here by the end of the season, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, indeed. And Joe Spurlin, switching gears in Major League Baseball, a story that we followed for a while, Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz. Anytime you hear federal indictment, last time I checked, they had about a 93% conviction rate. And this is, of course, the two Cleveland pitchers that they were found to have thrown ball one to it was first pitch of an inning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. First pitch of an inning was going to be ball one. And so then a couple of the sports books responded by saying, okay, so now the most we'll do on a first pitch or on a pitch is $200. Is this going to do anything, or is it just going to be push things to shadier operations?
No, I think that's a good idea, because that's the entire thing. If someone's injured, that's keeps someone from spreading insider information, I guess you're saying. Hey, I'm injured. They find out, there's people in there sneaking around watching practices and doing all that stuff, and they're like, hey, we're going to take the under because he's going to play, but he's probably not going to play very much. And I think it keeps that from happening. I mean, Ron, correct me on these numbers. They both, or one of them, had a $20 million contract.
Oh, Clase was—he was an All-Star. Tom, he was the best best reliever in the American League 2 years ago.
And they paid him $5,000 to do this.
Yeah.
Then they had him, right? I mean, you got to be kidding me.
That's right. a family member getting threatened or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, and I know there's not just him, but all these other people. So you paid him $5,000 and you took that and you did that. And you have a $20 million contract.
Yeah.
And would be getting more.
But did you guys hear what happened? He was supposed to throw a first pitch that was going to be a ball, and he threw it outside, and the Dodgers, Pajes, he swung at it anyway. And the guy who made the bet,
because he had bet that his first swing was going to be a miss.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Well,
they got to get together on this.
Somebody's going to die. One of these gamblers will go nuts and kill somebody.
Well, did you hear the kicker for the Giants has said he gets messages every week?
Jeez.
Because he missed or made it and said, you're horrible, you should die, and all this other stuff. And then Tom, you're probably right. Some nut job one of these days will wait for someone to come out in the parking lot and say, hey, you cost me this amount of money.
Yeah. The Louisville football coach had death threats this weekend.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Jeff Brom.
A gambling threat.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, as they like to say on the news, on a much lighter note, the Cardinals are open for business, Keith. They've thrown out names, including the usual suspects. Arenado is apparently open to a much wider trade group. Sonny Gray, Donovan, and then the one that made me kind of go, huh, was Burleson?
I heard Donovan.
Oh, Donovan. Yeah, yes, Donovan. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Arenado, yes, good rinse. I guess the writing's on the wall when they take the game in the first inning of the last game of the season. that kind of shocked him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming back.
No
way. Sonny Gray, $35 million owed to him. Get out of here. All right. Just he's done too. Donovan is a little perplexing, but if you're going to get something, sell high. And that's about as much value you can get.
Yeah.
Here in Cleveland is the team for him.
Tom, you hearing anything from your local or national sources on this? It's reminding me almost a little bit of the Whitey Herzog 1980 Dallas time in terms of turnover and trades we could have here.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me really if they, half the roster turned over this offseason, and that's probably not a bad thing. You know, you got to get rid of Gray and Arenado for sure. I think you might have to get rid of Donovan just to sweeten the pot for some of these other guys. And if you can get a good haul for Burleson, I don't want to do it, but you know, you're not going to win in the next 2 years. We've talked about that. So if you can get somebody who's, you know, going to be pretty good in 3 years, maybe you make that trade.
You know, Bob Nightingale was on KMOX today, and he said 3 years, and that's kind of what it almost seems to be, just the consensus of the chattering class of Cardinal fans that really forget about, you know, and again, this is strike aside, but basically 3 years.
That seems like a long time. It really does. But when you look at it, it's certainly something that, you know, if you're up front with this fan base, it's certainly something that I think we can live with. And so it still happens that I have a projected lineup for 2029. Our catcher is going to be Raniel Rodriguez. Our first baseman's Alec Burleson. Second baseman, believe it or not,
So J.C.
Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting. Mason Winn, your shortstop. Weatherholt, your third baseman. Jordan Walker and left field. Scott and center. Baez, I guess that's the guy we got in that trade.
Baez, right.
Mm-hmm. Playing right field. And Yvonne Herrera as your shortstop. You know a name that's not on there is Nolan Gorman.
Nolan Gorman is, and that's another one, Tom, that we didn't talk about.
Right.
Is he a Dave Kingman on the infield? Hopefully less of a jerk than Dave Kingman. But
he might need to go to the American League, you know, where things are played a little bit different, you know, and play one of those ballparks.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, well, we've got you. The University of Missouri-Columbia basketball team, big win tonight over Maryland, just a second half uprising there. Aside from the close encounter against SEMO, which I put in the chat, felt like a Thursday March Madness game.
Yeah. Thank you.
What are you thinking of the Tigers so far?
They're pretty deep. I mean, they're deep. They got some good shooters. You know, that they didn't rebound very well in that first game, and I think they've done a little bit better job last couple games. So, you know, I know they didn't play well, but they got something out of it by having a tight game to the end of the game. So they didn't have a 30-point blowout. And, you know, I guess the only thing is some of the guys who are non-regulars didn't get as much playing time.
Yeah, I think they're going to be fine. Keith Farrell, these St. Louis Billikens, 309 points in their first three games. Holy cow.
They can score against the Little Sisters of the Poor and the St. Louis School of the Blind. So I don't get too hyped in the first couple weeks of the season. But I do think SLU is a promising team. It's nice to see if they have the ability to score.
Tom, you've seen them in person. How do they look at the eye test up close?
It was the first game of the season against SEMO, a couple, you know, a little bit ragged, But they do, I mean, they do look athletic. And I think, you know, once they really get going, they'll be pretty tough. I mean, they got some shooters. They got some guys that can drive. I mean, they have a guard, number four. I can't remember his name now. He had like 12 points, and they were all drives. I mean, and you know, as teams start watching them, you know, they'll be able to kick those out, hit some threes. They will be fun to watch. Their problem is, Schertz has said, they can't get anybody to play them. And that's going to be their issue, is, you know, getting teams to play them.
Yeah, I heard someone today say that they've got to almost run the non-conference table to make the tournament, you know, given what's going on. And by the way, folks, I do want to let you know, the reason Doug Lansdowne is not on this week has nothing to do with his comments about the makeup of the Illinois Fighting Illini basketball team last week, who did have a very solid win versus Texas Tech last night.
Take them, yeah. Anytime you can get your ranked opponent down and out, then those are the teams that you want to win this time of the year.
Yeah,
or you want to beat this time of the year, I should say. And so, whether you've got dark hair, some extra gel in it, or whatever,
mm-hmm. Perhaps you'd like to buy a vowel.
whether your last name sounds like ends with a soda from Trenton, Illinois. Ski. It's okay.
Yeah.
The Illini program is very welcoming from all walks of life.
Oh, that's better. That's not where I thought we were going.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. So before Keith goes down the dark road that Doug took us last week, it's time for the last call, brought to you by Black Dog Consulting. Black Dog LLC is here to help the one truck owner and the small fleet owner to grow and prosper. Dave has 37 years and 4 million plus miles of experience, flatbed, step deck, overdimensional dry vans, and refrigerated units. He grew the last fleet he managed from one truck to five with yearly gross revenue of $3.7 million. And if this is the growth you're looking for, contact Dave Reinhardt at 417-217-9622 or Old Black Dog 0523 at gmail.com. Black Dog Consulting, helping you retrieve bigger profits. Joe Sperlin, what is your last call?
Before I forget, Tom, is the post player still at SLU that was at Indiana State? What was his name?
Robbie Avila. Avila?
Yes. Is he still there?
Yes, he is.
He's in his ninth year of eligibility.
Okay, I was about to say. All right, speaking of basketball, and I saw this, and as a guy who had to fight this for years, I just went, oh, no. And I'll guarantee you, high school coaches, football coaches, weight coaches, North Carolina had Seth Trimble, one of their better players, in the weight room, supposedly grab a lat machine bar and was stretching and pulled the machine on top of him and broke his arm.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez.
How it was not tied down. I tried forever to see how it happened, but he is out till possibly the first of January, end of December. And every basketball coach says, that's why I don't want players in the weight room. I'll keep that short version right there.
That's the only reason they don't want them in the weight room.
it messes up their shot.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I've heard that tons of times. And like I said, that's all I've got to say about that.
Just go shoot 100 free throws instead.
Yeah. Yes.
Tom Mathis, what's your last call?
So I brought this up a couple weeks ago, but it's now official. The early signing period has started today for basketball, and the Missouri Tigers are your number one ranked recruiting class for the season for 2026. So that's something to be happy about. They have 2 4 stars and a 5 star that is going to sign up tomorrow, Jason Crow. So next year looks pretty pretty interesting for the team.
And sure. You know what? Good on Mizzou for not freaking out when Gates had that terrible season and didn't win a conference game and kind of playing the long game and realizing, hey, this is a talented guy that we need to stick with.
Right.
Yeah, that's well agreed. Said.
Yes.
And I will also go back to the NIL. The Mizzou has a great NIL program, so you're not going to pull this off without that, without the NIL.
Nope. You are not. Mr. Farrell.
Hey, so a couple weeks ago, I was bragging about the Lindenwood hockey program beating up last year's national champ, Denver. So just happened to catch a glimpse of this. The Lindenwood Lions soccer program has the best record in the St. Louis region.
Okay. Better than SLU?
SLU is 9-2-6, whereas the Lindenwood Lions come in at 14-2-3. They're playing for the Ohio Valley Championship this weekend and will likely, with a win, land them spot in the NCAA brackets. How cool is that? I mean, this program just went Division I, and we've got some of the best players, not only on the ice, but on the soccer field, playing right in our backyard. Kudos to the AD who is putting this thing together over there.
Yeah, that's really impressive. In a very short period of time.
Very short period, yes.
Yep. Well, mine is my last call. And actually, let's see. So we got Spur. We got Tom. I missed you 2 weeks ago. I woke up in a cold sweat at 3 a.m. thinking, I missed Tom's last call. It's still our first year. We're new at this, folks.
Not a day to say that.
Yeah. Mine is mine's late breaking news. It's come out that the that Major League Soccer, as early as tomorrow, can vote on something that we've talked about here for a while. It's going to come to fruition. They are going to mirror the European calendar. So they are going to go to a single table system, as Tom accurately referred to it, a single table system. But more importantly, play will start in late July or early August and conclude in May, which is exactly what your Premier League and a lot of those other European leagues do. They will now. I found this interesting. They're going to take a 2 month, what they'll call a winter break. Partially because, hey, it snows in Vancouver, or, well, not necessarily Vancouver, but Chicago and New England and places like that. Yeah. So they will not be going up against the winter or the holiday season. And then they said they also don't want to come back right on top of the Super Bowl. So a little bit of maneuvering there. But their championship game will have much better visibility in May as opposed to late December right now when they are, you know, barely mentioned because of all of the football and everything like that. They did say the people that are very, very excited about it are what they call the technical directors. Joe, that's like the GMs, basically. Yeah. Because in terms of bringing players over from England now, because the seasons are anywhere overseas, the seasons match up. So you're not like trying to pluck a guy from another team in the middle of the year. So the only thing they did not give, of course, in true MLS fashion, is a timeline for when this will all start.
Of course not.
So we're going to do it. That's kind of like me.
We're not going to tell you.
No, it's kind of like me starting on the rowing machine again. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say when.
Exactly.
So the big question I have, did they say anything about getting out of the Apple TV contract?
No, that's an entirely different bushel of wheat. I think that I just came
bushel
up with that.
Apples.
Okay. apples. Do you do bushels of wheat? I don't know.
I'm sure you can do a bushel.
Yeah. You do.
Anyway.
You do.
No, Tom, great question. A great question and a lot of strong feelings around the league about that because, you know, let's take our fellow sportist, Joe Sperlin. If he wanted to, quote unquote, sample some city matches, there's what they, you know, they're basically saying that Apple is a barrier of entry. You've got to pay X amount to watch
a
soccer match.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's a few games a year that are on Fox or FX1.
And also Apple's not releasing their viewership numbers, which people are like, well, gee, if they were good, don't you think they would?
You know it.
Yeah. So no, Tom, that's the next question right there. So if they can get their schedule straightened up and then move out of this TV deal they're in right now, I think things would be better.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Better for the MLS. And with that, we have come to the end of this episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. If you could give us a like, a follow, anything like that, we would really appreciate it. Or, yeah, a thumbs up, as Keith is indicating, if you're watching. Joe Sperlin, thank you, sir.
Tell two people, remember?
Tell two people.
A great year. I've enjoyed it. And every time I get on here, I enjoy visiting with you guys.
Likewise, sir. Tom Mathis, good to have you back.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I echo Joe's sentiments. Thanks, everybody, for staying with us for this year. It's been a good time.
Indeed. Mr. Farrell?
Unbelievable year. Really has been. You know, you walk into an adventure of something like this, you just don't know where it's going to go. And here we are a year later going, year two, it's going to be a sense of adventure. Where's this thing going to go?
Where?
So, but it's been fun. And so we'll continue to knock it out and talk sports weekly.
I'll say the same thing. We hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as we have. And with that, we'll do it again next week on the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. And until then, take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.